Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is the audio version of the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review. You can watch the video version and take part in a future episode at patreon.com/cultaholic.
Woof, woof, move, move, with Greyhound.
Come on to the Rock Show. Come on to the People's Show. Come on to the Premier Show. SmackDown.
It's the 1st of March in the year of our Lord 2001. Dido, no angel.
A space odyssey.
Fifth week for that song and that joke.
Only the fifth week.
Yeah. Atomic Kitten, Hole Again, 4 weeks. Ooh. Hannibal, 2 weeks number one, UK box office. The current foot and mouth outbreak has required rural-based soaps and continuing dramas, such as Emmerdale and Heartbeat, which I was not aware was still around.
Oh, no, yeah. One.
Good God.
Like, still going.
Yeah, Heartbeats tend to go on. It's a good sign. to adjust their filming schedules, it is reported.
Wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know that the foot and mouth caused like country-based soap operas to... Yeah. Relocate to the city.
What's an overdub required there?
No, they're just all on green screens. They just do it on, yeah. They just do it on really bad green screens instead. See, no, that sheep over there, Mr. Dingle!
See, it's too much money for that green screen. Just do the field. Oh, nice to see you in the marketplace. That's right, I was just buying market. the big game this week is Lego Island 2, The Brickster's Revenge.
That sounds like we've made it up.
That's right.
That sounds like we've made it up.
It's the second one there. So I imagine the Brickster get his pinfall victory and then they have the third match in the Tokyo Dome. Brick by brick.
Hey.
And Who Shot Phil starts on EastEnders. And sadly,
no way.
And is sadly not an angry cow.
That'd have been very topical
I'm glad that got a laugh out of you. Because why did I write that? The storyline has been described as a Dallas-style whodunit mystery, echoing the attempted murder of JR.
I remember, the one thing that weirdly I remember from it, this was around the same time, I think, as like the height of Newgrounds. And awful animation did the rounds via Newgrounds of Who Shot Phil. And it was just like a real badly, I don't know why it stays with me, really badly drawn cartoon of Phil Mitchell coming out of his house going, I know who you are! I'm going to get you, you bastard. Just getting shot in the head. Which is basically what happened in the Who Shot Phil storyline.
Yeah, but you're ready for the impact this had on the country. Various key characters were in the frame for the deed, and viewers were left guessing for weeks as to which of them was the real culprit. Oh. Several outcomes were allegedly filmed, and it was reported that only a few TV executives knew the identity of the would-be assassin. Even the other actors were kept in the dark, being given only their own scripts. Script writers were reportedly given private security after a writer's laptop was stolen and was believed to be an attempt to gain the identity of the assailant. The storyline captivated the public's imagination, leading to thousands of bets being placed at the bookies across the UK. Bookmaker William Hill said that around 50,000 bets were made on who was responsible. And it was revealed later on... Oh, actually, I'll spot
that. Tell us who it was.
Once you adjust that door. Oh, okay, no worries. That Lisa Shaw in April... Later on the show, Phil's former girlfriend was a culprit. The episode caused...
Spoilers!
The episode caused the third largest TV pickup power surge on record. And the Liverpool and Barcelona UEFA Cup semi-finals postponed for 15 minutes to accommodate a special 40-minute edition of the soap.
What can you imagine?
It's amazing. Though.
The seismic power of EastEnders to delay a major football match.
Right.
I also like that. Incredible.
Were you ever taught that at school? The example, I forgot why we were taught it, but the marriage of Prince Charles and Princess Diana nearly killed the country because everyone was in the world, everyone on this side of the world was watching it. And so it's like, and now for a commercial break or whatever. Now it's his little. Every single person got up and switched on the kettles at the same time.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Yeah. He's a big problem. So that must be the first one or second one. I don't know what the other one was. And that's the third one.
Surely it would have been the marriage of Queen Elizabeth II, which was.
That's right, when the Duke of Edinburgh went, Miss Elizabeth, will you marry me?
Was that not? I'm sure that was on the telly, or the Jubilee. That was on the telly.
Their marriage, wasn't that?
I might be very wrong.
Wasn't that? Then I'd like Napoleon Bonaparte in attendance for that one.
I'm sure the beheading of King Charles was on the television.
That's right. Caveman Ugg was there.
Oh, Caveman Ugg was. I remember Caveman Ugg's wedding as well. Yeah. To Caveman Igg.
It was a different time. Actual Australian wrestler called Caveman Ugg.
And when there is. There is.
Listen, so just going, why am I getting plugged? What that bloody hell?
But I remember when Caveman Ugg and Caveman Igg, they got their marriage, everybody watched Caveman Ugg and Caveman Igg. Everybody's in their caves that night watching Caveman Ugg marry Caveman Igg. Then they cut to a commercial break and everybody ran out to kill a tiger. And the tiger population just decimated. Because everybody went, there's a break on. Better go. Go on, hunting.
All right. What's Tom going to do here? Is he going to do a really bad caveman Ugg pun? Or is it going to be, no, kill a tiger. You're listening to the Cultaholics Smackdown.
We are classic off to review. A flying start.
I'm Matthew, this is Tom.
Hello!
Get ready for 10% wrestling, 90% crap.
How are you, mate? We've literally come down to record, and I think I've seen you for about 5, maybe 6 minutes before we started recording. So I thought, I'll just hold everything in.
Yeah, I'll do that.
And go, how are you, when the microphones are on? Yeah. My good friend Matthew Gregg.
I absorb it and go, I'm fine.
Wearing a Gregg's hoodie today.
That's right.
If you're watching on the Patreon... Apologies if it's a bit washed out on the Patreon because I've left.
That's just our faces.
Just our faces. I've been left to figure out the light situation. I'm worried we might be a bit washed out, but it doesn't matter. Thank you very much for supporting us anyway. But the lovely Gregg's hoodie you got on, this was a big thing last week, wasn't it? The Gregg's Primark crossover, Infinity War.
Marvel versus Capcom. Anyway. So,
pasty versus leggings.
Yeah. 8 a.m. Saturday. Got there about 8:15. Get there, and I wanted a hat and some socks, as well as a little hoodie. And I went, where are the hats and socks? And goes, sorry, they've already sold out. There was a queue of 40 people before we opened up. I'm like, And there were people like myself going, all right, cool. Hello, Jimmy, are you at the Metro Center? Yeah, what have they got there? All right, sound gets a few. It was a Tom Clancy operation.
Wow.
It's a thing up here.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I've got the little jumper as well, LIDL, not like a little one. And it really is a bit of identity with these big corporations sometimes.
It is, isn't it? It's a little thing that we do in terms of, like, how we carry ourselves in the Northeast. Mm. Like it's we associate so much with pasties.
Right. But that was the thing, because they're doing them across the UK, they had a really crap shirt. You know, Primark have a really good shirt, a really naff one. Mm. They had one that was just a picture of a sausage roll and then iconic at the top. And I'm like, no, it's the
boring,
pasties.
Isn't it?
It's the pasties. If you're going to know, it's going to be the pasties. Because no. If they're doing it across the UK, then they can't make it too regional.
No, because I think the sausage rolls are the big thing with them.
Is it?
Tell me about Greg's, because I've just realised why our lighting. And
why is that?
Classic SmackDown review style. I'm just going to keep the footage rolling.
That's fine.
Whilst I turn this light on.
Oh, the light had to be on.
Look at that, it's much better.
Is it?
Well done, Tom. Hi, Patreon. Thank you very much
He looks. Before. He sure looks all right now. It's like,
he looks fine now. Okay, look at that. We look lovely now. Yeah. We're lovely and fresh.
Lovely and fresh.
Lovely and fresh.
So, the same colour as me.
Bloody. But I get why you'd have to go with sausage rolls. Because whilst in the northeast, Greggs is beloved.
Right.
Southwest, it's a very different story.
No.
Because obviously Cornwall has a way of doing pasties, which is I would probably say the right way. And
Tom,
Greggs brings that into question. It's funny because when I worked for Hart, like talking about Greggs in the northeast was just like, it's just Greggs all the time. But in the southwest, when my mate did drive time for Cornwall, like the idea of a Greggs moving in was horrifying. Mm. It's like, no, keep that up your other end.
Wow. I mean, obviously, what do they have there?
It's Cornish pasties, so you have Cornish bakehouses and stuff like that.
Oh,
so okay. You have like the Cornish pasty born in Cornwall.
Makes sense.
I don't know why I pronounced it Cornwall. Born in Cornwall, so therefore anybody coming in and doing what they would perceive to be an inferior version. Mm. So therefore, the sausage roll is a good common ground for the length and the breadth of the country, because everybody can agree that they're like a Greg sausage roll.
Mm.
Even that guy from West Midlands made 4 Christmas number ones about it. Lad baby.
Yeah.
I keep playing funny pranks on my wife. Oh, I did fun, I. But seriously, let's think of the kids this Christmas. Mm. I need a sausage roll.
I don't think those other people making fun of our Prime Minister are bad. And then the other guys responded, I don't think you should be talking about how much you've given the food shelters to big yourself up, you selfish get. Anyway.
Shots fired at lad, baby. I like the songs, they're catchy, but it's the videos do my head in.
God, get the hell.
I played a funny prank on my wife, she keeps falling for them. So
let's move on from the sausage rolls. Love people.
So how are you?
I'm grand right now. I'm very motivated. In life.
Yes!
Just happy. I'm keeping the good vibes of 2022 going because 2021 was crap. Mm. And I've realised that I'm trying to leave all my crap stuff for last year.
Nice!
You know, like Homer Simpson, he stabs his toe on a nail and it goes, fiddle-dee-dee. That will require a tetanus shot and upset. Okay, then he does afterwards. That's a horrible example, but I do like it. Yeah, it's going to keep on going.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I wish I could be the same. I'm...
Oh, it'll last like a day and then like, oh.
Yeah, that's it. I'm desperate to get back into like a fitness routine because I'm very aware that I've just put weight on since the year started. And so... I've had, and normally it's because we're doing nice things. So like today I was my first day back at work for about a week because Alex and I went to Manchester.
You did?
We had a lovely time in Manchester. We got to go and see Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye. Got to go meet Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye very briefly. That's very exciting for Alex. And I was the good boyfriend that stood and filmed as the hug went down. And I was like, yeah, that's great. It's great to see. You love to see it. So... did that, and we ate a lot and we drank a lot. And then on Tuesday, my younger brother came up to the northeast. Stubbed it, fiddle-dee-dee. Mm-hmm. That'll require a tetanus shot.
That's nice. Stubs his toe. I don't think I've met your brother.
No, I don't know if you have. He speaks, he's very excited that we hang out on the regular.
Oh, is he?
Because Botchamania was a big part of like family holidays and stuff where we sit and
really?
Watch your work. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's very excited that we get to hang out.
Oh.
Either, yeah, it's there's a nice thing for you. He's very excited that we get to hang out. It's nice. See, there's the power of power of the work that you do.
Yeah,
power of the work that you do.
Oh, quickly, not to interrupt your lovely heartwarming story. I know I've really made it. I got an email saying, "Hey, we would like to advertise new videos."
Yes,
we want to do a little advert for a little thing called Raid Shadow Legends.
Yes, he's done it. He's done it.
I'm like. How's that going to work?
Yes! Who cares? Do it!
Hey, Madcap Moss landing on his head and turning into a rugby ball. Oh!
You're living my dream.
I won't want to do that.
Oh, get
what
in.
You should be doing is Red Shadow Legends.
Yes! Yes, mate!
I might have to make it like the...
If you can't think of anything to do for it, I will do your Raid Shadow Legends advert. I will do your Raid Shadow Legends advert if you can't think of anything to do for it. I will do your Raid Shadow Legends advert.
I can't put it in.
Yes, you can! Do it! Mate, look. Okay, right. I defy anyone listening to the sound of my voice across the length and breadth of the country watching this video on our Patreon. Thank you, you gorgeous, gorgeous bar stewards. We love you. I defy anyone to deny you the ability to make a bit of coin out of something that has brought so much fucking joy.
I know, but it's just hilarious.
But then here's the thing. You make it in a way that is befitting you.
Wow, that table was really hard. You know what isn't hard?
Raid Shadow Legends!
The best RPG.
Do it! They know what
that is. I have to do like the Kane voice.
Yes!
Raid Shadow Legends.
I'm sure you can just get Colonel XP to animate you one.
Get the actual Kane.
Raid Shadow Legends, what are you doing here? Honestly, man, I am buzzing for you. Oh. I am buzzing for you. Ugh. If they approached me, I wouldn't blink. I'd say, here's where you send the check. Okay. You'll have an advert by sundown. Oh, it's ace.
Anyway.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Raid Shadow Legends advert.
I can't wait to meet your brother. Future sounds botching. Nice.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, my brother would not begrudge. Like, someone who has watched you for a long time would not begrudge you making some coin.
No, that's fine.
Jesus Christ, nobody would. Nobody would.
How else have you been this week?
Oh, it's great.
With the storms.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So he came up. So he managed to make his way up. And we ate and we drank. He came all the way up to watch West Brom lose to Borough 2-1. So that was good. So, do you know what? It was the whole reason he came up was probably the least important part of the 2 days that we, the 24 hours that we had together. It was just nice to catch up and just shoot the breeze and just talk a lot of bollocks with my little brother. It was very, very good. But I've just ate and drank a lot again. And I'm very aware that I need to do something now because as I'm tickling the
go on, you've got this.
Bollocks of 40.
There you go.
I'm tickling the undercarriage of 40. My metabolism is dropping at an alarming rate. So efforts must be doubled, which they're planning to be by the time you hear this weekend. But yeah, otherwise, all is good. Like I'm sad about that, but overall, it's not much to be sad about. Life's pretty nice at the moment. You know, lots of nice things happening with good people. MAF's just got a Raid Shadow Legends sponsorship, so we all look forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
We all do look forward to seeing that. What else has happened? Just been a lot of storms, isn't it, over here? One storm after another.
Yeah.
Just it's showing really off.
Getting on the bus and just seeing all the trees that have fallen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a bit, yeah. Well, it's a shame because I'm ready. Like, I feel like I feel like lots has been thrown at us already in 2022, you know.
Yeah.
In light of other world news, but we won't worry about that today.
But on the plus side, though, saw Jackass Forever.
I was going to ask you about this. And you did a laugh.
I was saying to people, like, if you go see something at the cinema, sometimes some people are, some people, say myself, some people, you're not as comfortable as you are. You're trying to buy strangers. And if it's a comedy film, not necessarily going to laugh that hard. If a horror film, you're going to get scared. Made it. I was howling.
Yeah.
So I was doing my like stomp laugh because I was just, it was, and even though they're like, hi, this is the setup and you see what it is, I'm just going, oh no. Oh, full on.
Oh, I'm excited because I was worried that it might go the other way. It might be a little bit crap and a bit like.
No, you know what saves it? The editing. They don't last. I don't think the first film was that good. Honestly, because I think they spent too long on bits, and I think they gradually got better because they realized, no, just do this and then just move on to the next bit. Less is more. So there's a lot of setup for some stuff, and you do it, and it's gone 30 seconds later. You go, great. So it's just highlights only.
I think as a society, that's what we are now, isn't it? We haven't got the time for long setups.
Because there are lots of people who, like, not lots of people, but there are other people, Jackass variants, who have done their stunts and stuff, but they do have a certain charm about them. Knoxville in particular is a showman and someone I realised that I think I fancied when I was little.
Did you? You had a little crush?
Not like TV series first movie, Knoxville, but the one we started doing films and stuff and he got himself like ripped.
Ah, okay.
Where it's like Johnny Knoxville's head on Brad Pitt from Fight Club's body. You're like, what the hell? All right. but then, yeah, just like Steve-O's there looking good. You know, it's heartwarming seeing some of these lads that literally grown up watching every few years or so and the moment to put a film out. You know, President Lacey, Wee Man, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's the new lot in, and they do good. And it's just, it's like hard. And then they show lots of, like, before and after footage. But McGregor gets that one scene he's in. He's not mentioned or referenced, but there's been some issues. But
okay.
He couldn't have been cut out of his bit. But
right.
It's noticed, like, oh, yeah, there he is. But maybe they'll put that in to go, hey, look, there's some residuals for you, pal. But maybe. And then like the end of, like, you know, Ryan Dunn forever at the end. And it's just, yeah, a really heartwarming, homoerotic, sadomasochistic film. I recommend it for the entire family.
5 stars, some funny bits.
Is that door shut?
I think it is. I'll tell you what I'll do. Whilst you do the line to set me up for my bit.
I'll do your bit.
I'll shut the door.
I was going to do that while he did it, but never mind. It's just Jocelyn.
I've locked it.
Like Yoko versus Earthquake, it's the colossal jostle. Right now,
like that,
you're probably going, God almighty, can they talk about wrestling? But I wish...
No, you're not.
But yeah, maybe not. We see the comments. But I wish there was a bit of context that could be provided for this little bit. Do I have to get a Wrestling Observer subscription?
No, you fuck.
No. Why is that? What's going to happen next?
Because I've done it.
Is that good enough setup?
It's a great setup. It's a great setup. Because I've done it, and I.
Have you? Are you going to tell us or keep it to yourself?
So I'm going to keep it to myself. You can all get fucked. So that was a nice little jolly fiddly-dee. Little laugh from your side.
I'm sorry.
No, don't.
A gay little laugh from myself. A gay little day.
Lovely little apology later. Matthew in a minute is going to talk through the first SmackDown of March.
In a minute.
First SmackDown following No Way Out. And I say March with great excitement because this SmackDown, March the 1st, 2001, exactly 1 month till WrestleMania.
Yep.
Till the best WrestleMania.
Like Ash Ketchum. We're on the road to WrestleMania 7. I'm on the road.
It's like Viridian City, but not a shit. So what's going to happen is Matthew's going to talk us through this week's episode of SmackDown. But that's before we do, I'm going to give you a little idea of what's happening in the wrestling world as we get as we get ready for the road to Viridian City from the Wrestling Observer. And I have to mention this off the bat. A little comment from Dave Meltzer from the Observer from this week. Just before he does like the rundown of No Way Out, he says, this last pay-per-view, No Way Out, to set up WrestleMania, set the stage for what has been the all-too-frequent WrestleMania letdown. For example, last year, Mania was one of the weaker WWF shows of the year, made worse by following a classic show the month before. Even a good Mania will disappoint people because of the difficulty in matching up to this show being No Way Out. So Dave already says Mania is going to be shit, apparently.
Because No Way Out was so good.
Because it was so
just
good.
Just like last year. Okay, yeah. Well, and Rumble 2000 was great. It's like Rumble 2001. I can see where he's going with that.
I absolutely can, but I like the idea of us going into the best WrestleMania ever and Meltzer going, yeah, it's going to be shit this year.
Mm. I'm like, no, Meltzer, Backlash. It's going
to
be rubbish.
Oh God. Something else that will sift through in weeks to come. Another note from The Observer, following the Triple H Steve Austin match, because of how well received that match and that feud has been, there is some conversations. There is a little bit of lobbying about changing the WrestleMania main event to make it Rock versus Austin versus Triple H.
I think it should be changed.
Who's lobbying? Me. Well, if it's just you, then we're not bothered. Ooh. And me. Triple H in a fake moustache. I think it should be different as well.
I shot a filler.
I think it should be changed too. Mike Powell, why are you ringing? Well, I owe Triple H a favour. He's always ringing logistics. I'm always... We're always on a little joke at his expense. Are you? I don't know your little joke with Triple H. Mike Powell logistics. Oh, yeah, would you like me to tell you the joke? Yeah, I would like you to tell me the joke. Okay, I'll tell you. I won't tell you the joke.
There was no attempt at like doing any different voices there, which is me talking to you. Hello, I'm schizophrenic.
Slightly from the left side of the microphone, slightly from the right side of the microphone. If you're watching on the Patreon, thank you, we love you. You know what I'm achieving here.
Hi, I'm going to be teaming up with Samuel L. Jackson and Bruce Willis.
No news on the WCW front. Literally no news.
Oh, that's good. Everything's all right.
Because late this past week, WCW had only just started looking at venues for shows in April. looking at doing Mondays, like taping Nitro and Thunder on the same day.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a while.
On Monday, yeah, but they're going to continue to do so. But WCW has done no booking of shows for April because of the planned shutdown and the pay-per-view cancellation. So that was the initial idea, was that WCW was going to shut down for a little while and then do the WCW Big Bang pay-per-view to reboot it. And Turner went, no, we have a lot of overheads. We have a lot of commercial deals to make good on. And plus, we sold these big money sponsorship deals between Nitro, and the Nitro ratings have been shite. So you ain't shutting down, you got to crack on. So now they've gone, oh, balls, we best book some venues.
I didn't know that little bit. That's great. Mm. We're shutting down, is that all right? No.
No.
We have these outstanding deals.
Mm. It's one of those things where had there been like enough goodwill left with Turner, with AOL Time Warner, they probably would have let them have a little bit of a break, but there was no goodwill. Because Ted Turner had lost majority control of his company, and AOL Time Warner were not fans of the whole wrestling thing anyway.
I'm still waiting to read like a Netflix documentary or a nice little YouTube video summing up the AOL Time Warner merger, because everyone said it was one of the biggest like messes and disasters.
I mean, even the name itself is a bit crap.
AOL Time Warner.
I mean, it flows now because we say it so often.
Team Warner.
It'd be like somebody called... It would be like, as Ross said in a video he did the other day here on the Cold Talk YouTube channel, it'd be like a wrestler debuting next week called Dolph Ziggler. And we'd all go, Dolph Ziggler! What are you doing here? Like, we'd all go, like, what a stupid name. But because he's been doing this for, like, over a decade, we're just like, ah, it's just Dolph Ziggler, isn't it? But we're so using AOL Time Warner. It's a shit name. It's a lazy name.
Mm. You know, that is funny because, like, at the very end of WCW, they were only doing four shows a month because they would do two, a Nitro Thunder, and then they'd do the pay-per-view. They weren't doing house shows. It was really like, all right, getting ready to settle down. And I was like, no. It's like, oh.
Mm.
The month before. Hello? Northumbria Uni.
Oh, my God, that'd be amazing. Oof. Hello, can we come and do a show? We'll call ourselves Defiant. This week on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Leno, in his little opening monologue, apparently the ratings for the XFL are so bad, the executive said, just burn the league for the insurance money. Look at wrestling in the zeitgeist. Isn't it exciting? Leno taking
burning the ratings for XFL.
That's basically what he did.
I screwed over Conan O'Brien.
Ooh, he did as well, didn't he?
He did.
God bless him.
Him with a chin.
Oh. Chim. During this week as well, so Jay Leno is having pops at the XFL this week because it is very bad time. Vince McMahon is quoted in USA Today as saying that the league...
Fuck Jay Leno.
Jay Leno's wrestling on Raw this week. No. Vince McMahon quoted in USA Today as saying the league would not be dropped. NBC shared in that same thought process as Vince McMahon. Kevin Sullivan, who's the NBC Sports VP, said the network has...
Hey, what?
Kevin Sullivan went to his boss who said, Sullivan, my son, do not sell the XFL. Okay, father, the giant's gonna win the XFL. He's so tall. Fucking Sullivan.
He's dressed in his gear with a crappy face paint, or else he's wearing suits.
The XFL will end Hulkamania.
The ratings may be dropping, but so will Hulk Hogan at Halloween Havoc
when we get him in the super cage. The network, according to Kevin Sullivan, not that Kevin Sullivan, the NBC Sports VP, that says the network has a 2-year contractual commitment, but there is the thought they'll move the games out of prime time for at least next season. And just to kind of find a way to get more eyes on the product, because apparently, so Scott Sasser is from NBC West Coast. He held a national press conference call. He said NBC is committed to airing the show in the prime time for the remainder of its contract, despite what Kevin Sullivan has said. Dave in The Observer writes, Sasser did an even sadder version of Vince Russo, blaming the ratings on it being Saturday night and the fact that NBC appeals to a younger, more urban viewership that are more likely to be out, belying the fact that the first week, those same viewers did 9.5, and those viewers he was talking about were there at the beginning and then never came back. He said they're hopeful of turning it around with stories about personalities.
Oh, we'll get on that later on.
More on that in a bit. God. Which is a strategy they've used for pro wrestling, and approaching Lawrence Taylor about joining the XFL.
What the fuck? 6 years retired Lawrence Taylor.
They haven't said in what way he will be appearing.
John Madden has been approached. Oh, getting back on the squared circle of football.
The squared gridiron of the football wrestling. It was confirmed that Taylor's agent has spoken with the XFL, but they've given no more details at this point. So, Lawrence, to go again.
Can you pay me in cocaine? Allegedly.
But he's another guy that would bridge that gap between the WWF and the XFL. What with Lawrence Taylor being a former WrestleMania main eventer.
Again, I love when people put out these PR fluff statements going, no, it's all right if it's like that. And then someone else in the other tower goes, no, you're doing prime time. That's what we're bloody paid for. Exactly the same that's happened with WCW.
Yeah.
We're going for a shutdown. It's all right. What?
No, you're not.
What crap to sell? What do you mean you're shutting down?
You've been going nowhere, sunshine.
The company's dead. I don't care. I want you in the office by Monday.
You are still going, you bastards. Shawn Michaels set to return to television in a few weeks' time. He is planned for a major role at WrestleMania X7. Not in a match, but likely to set up a match. Mick Foley will return to television soon as well. May not be for a match, but possibly to set up a match involving him and Vince McMahon at WrestleMania, which was in the cards as recently as a few weeks ago. So we'll keep an eye on that one.
Wait, what's that?
Mick Foley and Shawn Michaels.
Sorry. Finn Martin's just ringing me. Mick Foley, lion bastard, who says he's retired at No Way Out. All right, yeah, we'll make sure to mention it, Finn, like you did every issue in Power Slam magazine.
Oh,
right.
Finn Martin.
Yeah, I know, lion bastard. Yeah, and Jericho stinks as well. Yeah, we know. Okay, thank you, love you, bye.
Is he not busy working on like a 6-page like hatchet job on why Triple H is shit and I'm brilliant? Yeah. Sorry,
Finn. He says, how dare you? That's just purely speculation. 7 pages.
Sorry, my apologies.
One of them's going to be those giant pictures. So it's cut that. Okay, maybe you're right.
Here is... Jim Ross has made a couple of notes this week on injuries. Scotty Tuhotti's out with a neck injury. Could be a pinched nerve. Back in time.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a while.
He's pinched nerve. He's filed a police report to find it. Thank you very much. Hardcore Holly's having trouble with his forearm. No one's pinned!
We know he had the metal plate put in.
Yeah, the Lex Luger job, didn't he?
Gave Regal a chin lock. He submitted. He went, my arm.
Chris Jericho has a herniated disc in his lower back. He's continuing to wrestle through it.
Nope, Finn.
Finn Mal.
On airplane mode. No more calls from Finn.
Jason Spence and Adam Burch. Do you know what their wrestling names are?
No, go on.
Christian York and Joey Matthews.
Hey!
They signed developmental deals this week. They're expected to be heading to Memphis for seasoning. They got deals just before they were scheduled to put over Rey Mysterio Jr. and Billy Kidman in the Cruiserweight Tag Team Tournament. So even in the dying embers of WCW, WWF still have a little bit of energy for them to be little shit asses and go, we'll have them. Thank you very much.
Like Indiana Jones getting his hat just before the giant stone door comes down.
Exactly. Jim Ross, who wrote the Ross Report this week, gave us that. Jim Ross was very busy the last couple of days.
Oh, why is that, Tom?
So, I've gone and saved the best for last. Stacy Carter, known as the Cat, was released from the WWF on the 27th of February. Right in the middle of the angle with the Right to Censor. This comes after there was complaints during No Way Out that Stacey Carter was upset with the creative that she had in the storyline that she is doing with the Right to Censor, where she was going to be taken and sort of converted to their ways and all of this stuff. Didn't like it. She upset a few writers who went to see Jim Ross and said, look, we don't want to write for her anymore. We don't. So... upon hearing that, so Jim Ross said, look, I'm in a position where we've got to let her go because she's caused an issue. Upon hearing the news, Jerry Lawler had a production meeting with JR over what was going on, what was happening. He and JR spoke until 2 o'clock on the Monday afternoon and they went back and forth. Jerry Lawler then left and never came back. And Jerry Lawler, in protest, with the Cat being released from her WWF contract, has also left the World Wrestling Federation. Jerry Lawler said that he told Ross and Vince McMahon that if she's let go, then he would quit. They didn't change their decision. He left. Lawler said to Alan Whittington, who is his webmaster. Webmaster still a thing, I guess. For his website, that there was no incident or provocation of any kind that led up to this. Both he and Carter have no idea why she was released. They denied there was any refusal by Carter to do something suggested with the current angle. There was also other reports that Lawler had pressured or convinced McMahon to give Carter an angle in the first place. These are things that he says absolutely did not happen. So a lot of it's all about the he said she said bullshit. So this is on the night. This is hours before Monday Night Raw,
right.
And your color commentator for both your flagship shows has just gone. See you later.
Yep.
Call Taz. Oh no, Taz is in New York. He can't get to Raw in time. So Jim Ross is forced to do
color.
I'm
eating the Jimmy Hart red cabbage, brother.
So this leaves us with Michael Cole doing commentary on Raw, on doing color commentary on Raw, with JR doing lead, and then on SmackDown, as we will find out in a second, Michael Cole doing play-by-play, JR doing color. And I think as the show will go on, we might bring this up a few times, but I think JR is the strongest as a play-by-play guy.
Yep.
Without a shot. And I know they were in a tough situation. They had to do what they had to do. But if they could have put something else on, they would. But in that short space of time, they went, look, you two just do it for this week, and we'll have a solution by next week. And they do have a solution by next week. But yeah, I think JR, there was a few points on this SmackDown where, like, he kind of over-talked promos and announcers, and he is so much stronger as play-by-play.
I do think, though, he does get a few good moments as well.
Yes.
Highlighted, but you know what? Yeah, Jim Ross doing color is like, oh, that's interesting. It's like, yeah, because the alternative is Michael Cole. It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was the least worst option they could come up with, given that Taz was too busy having one of the, Ivan Koloff lasagna, whatever the fuck they were selling.
The plan is currently, in terms of that solution, at time of recording, for Taz to replace Jerry Lawler wholesale. So have Taz do Raw and SmackDown color commentary. That's the plan at the moment. Oh. Is that the plan next week? We will find out next week. Ooh, it's a seismic change to the wrestling landscape on the horizon.
It's funny because I remember, I swear, Powerslam said there were issues with female wrestlers, not the writers. And remember, it's been speculating it was Ivory, because she was one of the few people that actually have a proper match with Kat recently, had an issue with her. So I don't know if that's just a complete incorrect thing.
Do you know what? It might add to the fact that not only did Stacey Carter take issue with the writers, but Ivory took issue with Stacey Carter as well.
Yeah.
It sounds like she might... It sounds like, from numerous reports, it might have been a case that not many people liked working with Stacey Carter.
Yeah.
So they just went, look, let's just...
Yeah, come on, man.
Move you along.
And she was very nondescript. Like, her best appearances were in the middle of the China Jeff Jarrett feud.
Mm-hmm.
She would be Deborah's assistant, because obviously the manager of the wrestler needs an assistant. And then she becomes China's mini-me. That was good.
Yeah,
but she didn't
that.
Really do anything other than just walk around in a bikini and going like, hey, naked.
Yeah, she was kind of
like... That was it. She was a rotten wrestler. I don't think she was even properly trained.
No. Well, you watch her wrestle, and there wasn't any wrestling real acumen there. It was kind of like a Sable from Wish type thing.
Yeah.
Where like just like titillation, blonde titillation. That's, again, no disrespect to Stacey Carter. That's kind of what she was presented as.
No respect for our...
Yeah, no respect, but...
Lawlin's book goes into, like, great detail about this and sums up some more. I might bring an excerpt from it next week, because I forgot...
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, next week.
But he is quite... Later on in the book, I remember being, like, him quite self, like, oh, I can't believe she left me for the rest after I stood up for her leaving. It's like, you're, like, nearly three times her age.
Mm.
You can't believe she left you for, like, a slightly older person than herself. You can't.
I mean,
being able to park near the supermarkets was, I'm sure, a hell of an advantage, but
the novelty
not worth everything else, is it?
Mm-hmm. A little bit of dark match goodness before we go over to yourself.
Oh, goody.
Two dark matches this week to talk about. Scott Vick, who Vince is very high on at the moment. He likes Scott Vick.
Sick boy.
Sick boy, yeah.
Oh.
Vince went through this thing, and he's come up a couple of times. over the past 12 months on this show. Like, he turns up in dark matches quite a bit. There is something about Sick Boy that Vince really likes, but he just never pulls the trigger on him, but just keeps bringing him in for dark matches and send him to other, like to Memphis and places like that, but never really pulls the trigger on him for whatever reason. But on this particular night, he pins Rhino. Ross report.
Sick Boy pin Rhino.
Yes.
Jesus.
Right. Ross report goes, Rhino has already dropped 20 pounds since his signing. He will start on TV in the next few weeks. He
also, well, not having money to eat will do that to a man.
Yeah, he will do it. Just tuna and rice in the back of a car. He also expects Rhino to have a name change and wind up as a headliner.
Mm.
So JR is like, the name Rhino won't stick, but
he
did probably go to the main event.
Invasion.
He did.
So I guess he's right about that.
He at least got that part right. But yeah. No, Vince was really high. JR was really high on Rhino. The other match from the dark matches was Hardcore Kid, aka, would that be?
Jesus.
Jesus, aka right. Aaron Aguilera, that's aka right. Carlito's bodyguard, that's Jesus. Right. Pins Prototype, aka John Cena. What a throwback that is, or throw forward, yeah. A future echo, whatever it is. The battle for John Cena's kidneys that will take place that's in right. 2004, which we'll talk about in a couple of years' time on this very prestigious podcast. That war begins in 2001. Oh,
JC versus JC.
Oh, JC is coming. Look busy. So that is all my notes for this week in the wrestling. This bloody week in the wrestling in 2001, the year of our Lord. Let's go over to Matthew Gregg, who's going to talk us through this week's episode. There he is. He's going to talk us through this week's episode of SmackDown for the 1st of March 2001. WrestleMania is away. Oh my God. I'm so excited.
It's the SmackDown after No Way Out, and we're in Tucson, Arizona.
Tucson.
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 Is it? Oh. Tucson.
Tucson.
AZ.
I got told off in a video saying Brad Denton as opposed to Bradenton.
That's stupid, isn't it? Was it like it's Chepperspeak? Oh, I've messed it up. It looks like Cheapskate.
Oh, but it's...
it's Chepperspeak. Oh, I've messed it up again.
That one again.
Whatever it is, it's nowhere near
minefield. It's a minefield. Can pronounce Worcestershire sauce, yeah. A challenge.
Stupid Americans. Not Angle really is here, him. Who's not a stupid American, without his title, but still has the coach gear. Apparently he said on Raw, well, if Kurt Angle's not going to go to WrestleMania, then The Rock ain't going either. Crowd definitely loud Angle sucks chance to this man. I'm not asking you to be quiet, he says. I'm demanding. Kurt claims he came so close to snapping The Rock's ankle on Raw, and we get a clip of it, and yeah, locks that sucker in. Without the swearing, we saw No Way Out, and he's so happy with it. He then shows the clip again in slow motion. The Teletubbies influence on TV. Still occurring. Over, Steve Austin saved The Rock on Raw and stunned Angle, but then The Rock got ready to nail The Rock bottom on Angle. Sorry, on Austin, beg your pardon, with the, you know... Get on his knees, get him into
the
squat.
Yeah, he did the down circle taunt. Let me think. On No Mercy, it would be a special taunt.
Yeah.
On 2K19, it would be press triangle while the opponent is down. When you have a special, and it activates the special, so you go into the stance.
But this was interrupted by Albert.
Yes! What a night for Albert.
What
Albert
was he doing
saved
there?
The WrestleMania main event.
All right, Angle, Austin, Rock, Albert.
What are you suggesting? That one of these things is not like the other?
One of these things just doesn't belong.
Yeah, you're right. Rock has Rock is the champion, so therefore he shouldn't be in with the top contenders. I fail to see why you think Albert isn't right in this picture. Albert for Mania main event.
Anyway, Austin finally comes out to tell us he heard how many titles and awards Angle has won, and it don't impress Austin much. Austin knows him, and Rock are not drinking buddies. Austin's not buddy buddy with Rock, and then Austin's not buddy buddy. Rock shows up. Makes way to the ring, getting stared down by Steve the whole time, with the camera doing a lovely job of focusing on. It's just look, it's Austin going, yeah.
You would, wouldn't you? Rock also does not care about Kurt because him and Steve have a date with Destiny. More staring. Rock informs Austin that he doesn't want or need his help, and it doesn't matter what Kurt says or thinks, and if anyone's going to kick Angle's ass, it's going to be The Rock. More staring until Vinnie Mac's theme brings out himself and Willy bloody golly, well, I never, Lord Regal. Vince says he's impressed with Kurt Angle, which Jim Ross says, wah, immediately afterwards.
Wah!
Yeah. He goes, I'm impressed with you, Kurt Angle. Wah. So I say, Jim Ross got a few good ones here. So here in this very ring tonight, and Vince points at it dramatically, you know, this ring here, not the one in the parking lot. Rock will defend the title against Field Marshal Regal.
Yes!
Austin loves that idea so much, he decides to deck Angle and knock him out outside to give us our main event. And after that lovely, serious, dramatic opening, we then follow with a Greyhound telling us about Greyhound buses.
It just brings you a snap back, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
With a Greyhound in a suit talking about the overdrive of the week. But,
but what did you think of this segment, Tom?
Fun opening segment. I like it. I like the fact that Angle, Austin and Rock are all in the same hemisphere. Mm. I love that Austin and The Rock, the WrestleMania main event, are arguing over who gets to beat up Kurt Angle this week. Regal getting a WWF title match. They're changing the shape of WrestleMania here. Regal in the bloody buggery main event.
I'm going to beat you, then take on the number one contender, Prince Bloody Albert.
Yeah, Albert!
There's only one room for one monarch here in this bloody company.
That was why Albert was in the mix.
Aye.
And we might get Bulldog pop up as well. Regal versus Bulldog for WrestleMania.
That's right,
X7.
He's ready.
Do it, he's ready. Title shots all around. I like Angle's new intense persona.
Yeah.
There's part of me that thinks, would this have been better if he was more silent and violent than doing these sort of long Angle-esque promos, sort of planting seeds? I like the whole idea that all Angle wants to do now, because he's gone a bit Radio Rental, all Angle wants to do is break The Rock's ankle. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether having long promos from him really sell just how bonkers he's gone. I just want it to be like anytime Angle's in the vicinity of The Rock, like he's going for his boot like he's a foot fetishist. Like just like every time, just tearing at the ankle every time. Like I'd like that. I don't know whether you need long protracted. I mean, yeah. Angle's great on promo, but I don't know whether you need it to be long and protracted. That being said, it was a fun, long opening segment. William Regal's getting a bloody WWF title match. I like when Austin was fighting Angle outside the ring, and it looked like at one point Austin was going to push Angle's gold medals down his throat.
Yeah.
That was a fun little bit too.
Yeah, I agree. Serious Angle would work. He should threaten to break his fucking ankle every time he sees The Rock.
If there was,
that'd get him over.
If there was more of, if there was more disposable wrestlers at this point in the WWF, because the roster is, as we've said many times, very snake bit.
Yeah.
If there was more disposable wrestlers, I'd have Angle just snapping people's ankles.
Come on, sick boy.
Yeah, yeah, get in there, Scott Vic.
I'll make you sick.
Prototype, get your ankle broke, mate. Pay your dues.
Anyway, Lord Greyhound of Greyhound Buses Industries advises us, as only a talking dog can, that the overdrive of the week is Vince McMahon turning on Trish, not like that, and dumping liquid shit over her to align himself back with his daughter again. Nothing Freudian about this at all. Woof, woof, move, move with Greyhound.
Catchphrase, woof, woof, move, move.
That was Greyhound's liquid shit of the week.
If your dog's having a liquid shit, take these tablets. Woof, woof, poo, poo.
This is what the Greyhound will smell like 8 hours into a 16-hour journey.
Greyhound shit, liquid shit of the week.
Greyhound liquid shit of the week. Also, leader of Matt Hardy and now Facebook official.
Hey,
Jeff Hardy has asked about the two of them backstage. We get a brief glimpse of just how bad a promo Jeff Hardy can be.
Oh, yes.
Matt Hardy was wearing invisible camouflage, but I guess he took it off. It's a good job he's hot.
You talk Freudian. The bit where Jeff says, I always thought Lita was the sister we never had. I guess Matt thought different. That's quite a good line in it, its own little bubble.
It's a bit of a jab there, isn't it? You would, wouldn't you, Matt, you freak?
You'd shag your sister. You wouldn't shag your sister.
Well, from shagging sisters to kissing cousins.
Hey, nice.
Matt Hardy and Lita take on Crash Holly and Molly Holly. Brought to you by Stacker 2. The L'Oreal smoking prevention to ensure kids don't do anything unhealthy.
I thought you said L'Oreal.
L'Oreal smoking prevention to ensure kids don't do anything unhealthy. Also sponsoring this is Chef Boyardee's overstuffed vein clogging pasta sauce. I can still taste the card. So, but don't smoke, kids.
Yeah, don't smoke, but also pop up some relatively legal steroids and eat all this horrible pasta.
Yeah, make like a wrestler. Eat shit pasta and do steroids. But don't smoke. That'll be unhealthy. Matt and Crash start, but the crowd are really into Lita. Having Jim Ross doing commentary immediately changes the dynamic on the commentary as he's not sweating and rubbing his legs at the women who are doing the grabs. That was a nice change. The Hollies double team Matt, and Molly gets a roll up on Matt, which causes him to yell, "Are you insane?" He would know. Matt tags in Lita, with Molly keeping it basic, and Lita getting her slow mo head scissors to a big pop. Matt and Crash go at it, with Crash looking a little bit ropey, having to go one-on-one with a dude, but not having to treat the dude like he's 10 foot tall. But there is a notable size difference, and Crash is like, "You want me to go punch to punch with you?" All right. Okay. I'm not used to this. He's really at his best getting dumped from 10 stories by test.
That's kind of his thing, isn't it?
Lita and Matt land poetry in motion in the corner. Crash gets the advantage until Lita crotches poor Crash. Molly lands the Molly go round on Matt for a giant pop, but Lita breaks it up and lands a lovely top rope frankensteiner on poor Crash, who then gets pinned by a twist of fate. The Hardys are great at having a really hot and fast match ending, but Lita and Matt are different to Jeff because Matt and Lita get the win after Wombo combo.
Yeah, they're actually winning matches, bless them. Some nice little moments in this. I enjoyed how this was a bit more back in the day. I think we're slowly getting back to it now, where in these intergender matches, you do see a little bit more intergender. Like, you'll see, you know, the women and the men hitting moves on one another that make sense and ebb and flow. I know NXT did that a little bit a while, not long ago, where they had, like, an intergender match, and we saw a lot of that crossover. There's always conversations about intergender wrestling and its validity. And I think it's fine. I think as long as all parties involved are all right with it and they can make stuff look magic, then why does it really matter?
There's a lot of people who still think that the women's wrestlers, even in WWE, the biggest wrestling company in the world, are the equivalent to, like, 98, 99 division, and think it's going to be, you know, some of the size of Lashley just taking on, you know, the Cat. It's like, that can't work. I was like, no, you need to be a bit more update on the weight and size of people now.
That's it. It's changed a lot since then. And I think it's just like if let people do what they need to do and what they want to do. I don't see why it's our place as fans to go, no intergender wrestling. It's certainly our place to judge a wrestling show from 20 years ago.
Of course it is. That's fine. Everyone else is doing it. It must be all right.
It's our turn.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Christian sees if Angle is okay backstage. Edge is recovering from his No Way Out injuries, along with half the rest of the people in that match. Bangle says, hey, don't wait around for waiting for Edge to get better. Go injure someone now. Christian goes, yeah, good advice, Kurt. Also, the Arizona Diamondbacks are here. Yay, baseball. Anything? Nothing.
Not a thing on the baseball side of things. A little Edge update for you. So obviously Christian's here on his own tonight. Edge isn't too banged up, but he did hurt his back during that rubbish table match at No Way Out. And I think, and I've put here, I think because everybody's just so buggered at the moment, they're giving him as much time off as possible because they've got friggin' WrestleMania and a big match with Edge and Christian that they haven't announced yet. So they're like, look, just take a week off. Just get better. Yeah. Just get better. So that's what that's about.
Backstage, the Radicals argue. Because on Raw, during a tag team match against X-Pac and Just Incredible, Eddie Guerrero did not help Chris Benoit out of a crucifix pin, and they lost. Benoit appears, and he's really angry. Eddie apologizes, but doesn't look at Benoit when doing so. Chris doesn't trust Eddie right now, so tells him not to come to the ring or watch from the ramp or even watch his match backstage tonight. That was nice. Eddie yells back, Essay! A lot. So Benoit tells him to bring his Latino heat the ring tonight if he dares. Ooh.
I like the fiery Rutgers promo from Eddie Guerrero.
I love the crowd cheering because Eddie's delivery and his accent are really appealing, even if it's like, even if they saw the clip, it's like, no, you were wrong, Eddie. Why you talk like this to me, Holmes? It's like, oh, he's so, especially next to like, you know, the talking calculator that is Benoit.
Yeah,
sometimes.
There is that.
Eddie, you did not save me on Raw.
What are you talking about, Essay?
Eddie, I saw you. You keyed my car. We have footage. Why would I do that to you, man? Footage playing behind them. That's not me. That could be anybody. Crowd cheers, Eddie Guerrero. So.
At this point, like, obviously we know what happens.
Sorry for peeling this on the headphones.
We know. With WrestleMania, we think, you know, I think we know where this is about to go. But at this point, I was thinking, Guerrero Benoit at Mania? Yeah. Sign me up. On the Nitro, on the classic Nitro review, we've been watching Benoit and Guerrero having bangers on in 1995. Mm. They'd steal it in 2001, but we go in a slightly different direction.
Yeah, people who,
it gives one of our favourites a WrestleMania paycheck. So can't be too sad.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, people still remember the, like, oh, remember that powerbomb that Benoit gave Guerrero in 95 on Nitro? He just absolutely ate shit. So no wonder Eddie hated him so much years later.
What you talking about, man? Didn't powerbomb.
Bubba Dudley is on the phone and he's dressed like a bum.
I thought he just looked normal. He looked like he had his ring gear on the top, his jeans beneath.
Yeah.
Like sometimes how I'll half wear my pajamas by just taking off my jeans and putting my pajama bottoms on and continuing to wear the t-shirt that I've had on all day.
Well, that's fine if you're
a monster.
You know, yeah, that's fine if you're doing like Zoom calls from the waist up. But it's just like, Bubba. Anyway, he's on the phone, so Christian hits him with a chair to the back. Obviously not the back of his fucking head like Bubba did to Undertaker. Anyway, it goes, I'll tell Edge you said, was up.
That's nice.
Nice line.
Christian going it alone.
Yeah. Right to center backstage. Oh, this is a series of segments. Mm. They talk, but nothing is said. But one of them's done something bad. More on that later on. Oh. I know you're excited. I can hear you. Switching over to the other side. Saying, I wonder what's on the Thunder podcast, the new one. Chris Benoit versus X-Pac. I was going to say, man, if I was Benoit and I lost the X-Pac on TV, I'd want to turn on my best friend too.
Jim Ross in the Ross Report says that WWE may still change Just Incredible's ring name and want to make him and X-Pac a regular tag team as they are now, which they do. But like, why would you debut him as Just Incredible? I guess they've done it before. Like, bring him in, then change his name. He's been a bit nondescript, hasn't he, really? Oh, Just Incredible. Like, we haven't had any promos from him.
Not on SmackDown, no. I wonder if there was anything on Raw.
I don't think he even had any on Raw.
X-Pac's mate.
X-Pac's mate. It's like,
it should change his name to EC Dub because that's what people chant when they see him.
Basically. He's just like, who's X-Pac's mate? Which one? The one that looks like somebody started doing a creative wrestler then got called for their dinner.
You know, the guy.
You know, generic wrestler 3.
We're going to change his name to X-Pac's mate.
And then he's going to the ring by X-Pac's mate.
He's going to make like, he's going to be like Ultimate Warrior and legally change his name to X-Pac's mate so they can't make money off it.
Yes, X-PAC. Yeah, there we go. Eddie immediately turns up before they even lock up and starts commentating on the match. This brings about the other radicals while Benoit kicks X back. Dean plays Peacemaker as X back attempts the Jeff Jarrett sleeper hold on the back of Benoit before realizing he's much bigger than Benoit and just does a normal sleeper instead. You know, the Jeff Jarrett one is like, hey, yeah, come on, big Scott Hall. It's like a, like Yoda on Luke Skywalker's back during training. And he's like, hey, I'll do. Oh, no, it can't work at all.
That looks rubbish. Is that what you're
like,
trying to do?
It's like one of those big dogs that still thinks it's a puppy when it's seen its owner and then he takes it out. Anyway, that was good. JR stirs the pot and asks Eddie if he thinks he's better than Benoit. Eddie says, is there any reason to think he isn't?
Oh, brilliant.
JR asks Eddie if he would have saved Benoit on Raw, and he says, of course I would, man. I love him with all my heart. Anyway, Incredible gets involved, so Eddie attacks X-Pac to set up the crossface on Benoit, so he helps the Radicals this time. Can they trust Eddie? I don't know, but I'm just glad the Radicals are doing something that isn't stalking Leader like a creep.
He does make a nice change. I'm glad that Dean Malenko was out there in his best golfing casual to help ease tension as well.
And Saturn just dressing however he thinks a human being's supposed to dress.
I liked him playing. Do you know what? I like the fact that on the night that John Cena did a dark match, Dean Malenko's playing Peacemaker. Good joke, Matt. Thank you.
We got a classic WrestleMania moment. It is, of course, WrestleMania 3, and WWE lying about the attendance and everyone believing them for decades.
Yep.
They outdrew the Pope.
Should have been Pope, Ted.
They should have been. Imagine Vince McMahon. Ladies and gentlemen, the Pope. Pope.
Could have been Pope, Ted.
Aretha Franklin. Stephen Richards warns the right to censor that the worst may have happened and to be ready before yelling loudly at Val Venus. Wow, I can't wait for this to end.
I presume they were just having sex in there. Because like Stephen Richards just comes out and goes, okay, look, he's sweaty. Going, okay, I'm not quite through to him yet, but we're getting close. Shuts the door again. You just hear like screaming and throwing.
He tells Val, I'll show you. You'll see.
You got my catchphrase? Holly, how's your forearm? Yeah, so we're continuing the right more of that. Thing. More of that in a bit.
More of that to come. Don't worry, folks.
The feud
dead.
Must continue.
Kick the cross in the corner. The Rock now takes on Lord Privy Chamber himself, William Regal.
How happy am I? This is a spoiler. Spoiler, by the way. Like, this was my, what did I forget? Forgot completely that on the road to the biggest WrestleMania ever, William Regal comes that close.
That's all it took.
To being in the main.
Then this close to greatness.
Regal getting a WWF Championship match. Get the fuck in, Regal.
Very deserved. Regal can't wait to win the title in this shot. He deservedly has been given, thanks to Vince McMahon, and then headline WrestleMania.
Yes!
Oh, of course.
Just one more bloody fight about your leadership, the Queen.
About your prime ministership.
One more fight about the monarchy.
It's my way or the A1.
Oof. My way or the motorway.
Michael,
my way or the motorway.
That was a much better joke. Michael Cole calls Regal an extremely dangerous man twice.
Yes.
This match. So that's his next shirt sorted. Regal gets the British leg sweep, not the Russian one, before landing uppers. They call them when Brits do them. Austin is shown backstage watching all this with stares. Rock locks the sharpshooter on Regal, but Angle makes the save subtly at first. I think he thinks, ah, sod it, and hits the Rock in the middle of the ring with a DQ. The Rock evades the ankle lock, and Kurt runs away, so Rock bashes a chair over Regal's boggin to end this. Regal then apologizes to Vince backstage because he didn't win. And Vince says, in my book, Willie, you're a winner.
Willie.
Regal says, what book is that? And Vince says, the Beano Annual 2001, now on sale from WH Smith.
Look at the Beano getting a reference. Bloody love, Dennis the Menace.
Anyway, it's all part of a bigger plan, so it's okay, Regal. Don't you worry.
I enjoyed.
What do you think of the Brit?
I enjoyed Regal, like, really giving Rock a shoe. And I was like, yeah, go on. Like, he didn't really get jobbed out, which I was quite happy about. Like, Regal looked quite... Like, Rock rolled into the ring, and immediately Regal starts bloody kneeing him and kicking him. Yeah. It's like there's an old-school like brutishness that all the main event lads. There is so much love from the top flight of the company for Regal, for Darren Matthews, for Steven Regal. So much love for him. So when he wrestles like Austin and Rock, like they fucking sell for him. Like he is a threat.
Yeah.
And I love it. So I was delighted. I enjoyed when they panned the crowd as Regal was coming out and you had people doing the Regal wave. And I thought that'd be a great foam finger. Just to have like the
Regal wave.
The curved palm on a foam finger that you just do a big Regal wave with. It'd be nice that. If he became a top baby face in 2001.
He's already won.
Might still be.
Well, from the sublime to the ridiculous. We then get a look at the XFL as JR says, wow, Jesse Ventura is having issues. That's right. They're doing feuds on football matches. Oh. It's Ventura versus Jesse Tillman, with production doing their best to make it look way more dramatic. But even in this edited form with the, you know, usual WF production, it still looks so cheesy and forced.
Do you know why?
Because the ratings are on their ass.
They're doing it because the ratings are on their ass. But the reason it looks so shit is because Rusty Tillman, who was the guy that Jesse was feuding with, didn't want to do a storyline. But they were just kind of, but Jesse was just kind of going with it. And like, hey, gutless Rusty Tillman, you shit. And Rusty's like, okay. And they found clips of interviews where they'd said, hey, what do you think about Jesse Ventura? Like, having a pop at you. And all his answers are always, I don't care what he says. I don't care what he says. Because he's head of manager of a fucking football team. And then, like, the bit where Ventura goes down to pitch side to try to have a chat with gutless Rusty Tillman, as he calls him. And, like, Rusty's not playing. And Jessica, hey, talk to me, gutless, about your win. Was that good? And I was like, I'm not talking to you. I'm not even going to make eye contact with you. Yeah. But they're so desperate to make it a thing. That's why this package looks shit.
Because
it was so desperate. Like, let's start a story. And all the way through, Rusty Tillman's going, I don't want to do a story. I want to manage this. You've hired me to manage a football team. Yeah. I'm going to manage the football team. Funny.
It's so funny. But it's so WWE that they've gone, all right, we're doing this storyline in a feud, and they haven't like asked him to do it. It's just, yeah, you're doing this. He's like, okay.
It's the arrogance.
What do you have to say, Jesse? Nothing. Oh, he's scared of me. More on this. And they showed this. This is the whole, even as a kid, I remember watching this going, God, this looks bad. Like, I'd never show this again.
It's the arrogance of the company. Where because when you join WWF as a wrestler, they're like, okay, you want to be a wrestler? Well, in that case, you're going to do what we say. You can do that. You're going to do that. And they come into they steamroll into American football, and they go, all right, Rusty, you want to be one of our managers? Right, fine. You're going to do a story. He's like, no, that's not what I'm paid to do. I'm not here to be a character. Yeah, but that's what we're doing. Well, that's good luck with that because I'm not playing along. Yeah. We actually
not playing ball.
I will tip the invisible cap on this occasion because we lost Rusty Tillman last year. Oh. Passed away at the age of 75. A very well loved member of the NFL, despite his brief little run with the XFL. A lot of love for Rusty Tillman, so we tipped the hat to Rusty.
Thanks, Rusty.
Thanks, Rusty.
Sorry about that rubbish appearance.
Sorry about Jesse Ventura.
Yeah. Anyway, backstage, Steven tells Writer Censor that Venus has confessed to something bad, so Writer Censor beat him up, but we don't know what. Presumably, he said he enjoyed that last segment. Oh, and then in the ring, Venus confesses to allowing a vixen to wrap her perversions around him. JR says the crowd could care less, and he's absolutely right. This goes on forever. He also says, Jim Ross says he'd also like to forgive and forget the right to censor. Finally, the APA show up and kill Stephen Richards for a bit. That summed up a bad 10 minutes of the crowd not caring, this going on and going, oh, one time this woman put her legs around me. And yeah, okay, it sells the gimmick that they're bad and everything, but no one cares.
This is them.
I'll show it. I'll do it on TV. It was just...
Well, they didn't, because this is them explaining away the Stacey Carter thing.
This is them explaining.
Was that supposed to be that? Oh.
That's what that is. That's what all of this is.
I was just like, randomly, Val Venus was tempted.
No. So they don't say her name. They don't reference her by name. But the story between the lines is Val Venus was tempted into a lovely bit of sexy time with Stacey Carter. And they found this out. And then, again, this is unwritten storytelling in that they cast Stacey Carter out of the WWF. And then that whole Val thing is designed to kind of explain away what happened. So, like, he was led into a lustful path. He fell off the straight and narrow, and he wants to be forgiven. Some strong acting by Sean Morley as he weeps in front of the other Right to Censor members. And then as soon as they go, all right, we forgive you, and they embrace, and then the APA come out, and that's WWF's way of going, right, we've addressed that. Here's your new one. So all of that is...
You know what? That's fair enough.
...is just addressing. They don't say the Cat or Jerry Lawler by name, but that's them addressing it and then moving on.
I also thought that was a way of getting it swept on the carpet by making it so boring and so long. You're just happy someone came out and hit them.
I mean, it wouldn't shock me if there was an element of that too.
It's so weird because I, you make it sound so obvious now, but watching this, I generally thought like Venus was like, now, you know, like an alcoholic, recovering alcoholics, like walks past and was always tempted to have a drink and like, oh, you idiot. But this was like, I was walking past the strip joint.
I thought I'll just
go in and ask for directions.
Because...
You little bastard, you, and it was sending up. I didn't make the connection. It was supposed to be about the Cat because they didn't mention her.
And that's why you're forgiven for not being able to make the connection. Yeah. Because they don't mention her.
They're deliberately
her.
Vague, right?
They're deliberately very vague. Had they been a little bit more on the nose with it and just owned it, then I guess the idea being that they don't even want to acknowledge the fact that she's not there because she was quite popular. So by acknowledging that she's not there... And that made people go, oh, wait, actually, where's Jerry Lawler then?
Yeah.
And so it's a case of kind of doing something that sweeps the story under the rug, and then they move on to the next thing.
You ever seen the Bond film that starts off after they lost the rights to Spectre? So it's a guy who is Blofeld, who isn't Blofeld, who you don't see the face of, but he's in a wheelchair and he's bald. He's got control of, what has he got? Some sort of flying device that's taken out Bond. Is chasing him, and he keeps on going, yes, we've met before, haven't we, Mr. Bond? Ha, ha, ha.
Oh.
So it is him and isn't him at the same time, because they couldn't legally show him, but also what's going to happen with him. And eventually, good old James Bond basically dumps him in one of those big old towers you see at power stations. And it's sort of like Blofeld, who's supposed to be like, you know, the Shao Kahn of effing Bond villains, is taken out by being dropped in one of them, and he goes, Mr. Bond! And it's rubbish. But I guess they had to do it because people go, why is Blofeld not in this? Like, it was in the last bloody film. And then they're like, yeah.
They have to do something to address it in a way that kind of moves on the story. Yeah. And
but they can't obviously show or talk about it. So it's like, it's so crap.
So Stacey Carter was James Bond's Blofeld, basically, in this particular bit. So they've done it. They've moved on. The APA's out.
Blew that Feld. No, Venus. No, I'm sorry.
Again.
I'm sorry. Let me talk for 10 minutes. Okay, so thank you for clarifying that. Then in a great bit, Stacker 2 shows the highlights, the stack of the week, I guess.
Burn of the week.
It's the burn of the week, thank you. But it's the highlights of Undertaker and Kane chokeslamming Kishi and Haku, but because Stacker 2, the little, like, you know, the animated thing they show is like him at like Silent Night Fever type setting.
Yeah,
they've got this 70s disco theme over the top as they're chokeslamming the island guy. It's like slam, it's just okay. That's definitely the tone they were wanting from that.
100% was the tone that they were wanting.
Yeah,
100%. That's exactly
Crime Inc. loves the boogie.
I love the nightlife. Anyway, I love the boogie.
A Night Fever sets up The Undertaker and Kane and Devon Dudley, the sole survivor of that match, versus Christian and Haku and Rikishi. The tag team scene is literally falling apart like a biscuit that's been in the tea too long. It's okay, though, lads. They have that easy WrestleMania X7 TLC 2 match coming up, the heel over. Rikishi and Undertaker go at it with Undertaker yelling his favorite Will Ferrell film as he scales the ropes whilst holding the arm. That's right. For some reason, he yells, Anchorman! That's me doing my best Tom Cameron impression with that crap joke. God almighty. Kane tags
the
in.
The producers!
Oh, no. Oh, God, no.
Kane tags in and proves he's still cool by sending Rikishi into the jetty cell and yells, Talladega Nights. Talladega, whatever. You get it. Kane assists Steve on Dudley. And people go, wait, what's he doing? That's not his move. He gets his legs, spreads with Kimbo, looks at Devon and the top rope. Looks at him and goes, Anchorman 2, the journey continues. Sorry. All right. Sorry, the producer of the corner's thrown up the X. Okay. He goes, what's up? Under Haku. And this is a nice little bit. The crowd likes it. But it's made better by cutting the Undertaker on the apron going,
yeah, Undertaker's living.
What?
Kane shouting.
Nolan. Anyway, it's business as usual with Undertaker last riding Christian to win because Crime Inc. forever. The Devon bit was fun. Rest was just a match. What do you think?
Right. Sitcom Kane made his debut on SmackDown. That's something that we'd say he did. What's up? And Undertaker's face. Undertaker's face, like not only on the ring apron when he does it, but as they're walking back towards his, as he's walking back towards his bike, he's like looking back at Kane going, what's up? And Kane's like, what? I just thought it was funny. And he goes, but look, Undertaker, look on MySpace. I'm looking down the page and everybody's saying nice things about me. And Undertaker goes, keep scrolling.
Oh, there's a joke. That's right. In 2001, with his BlackBerry. There we go.
On his BlackBerry.
Historically accurate Tom Campbell jokes. But that's it. I asked him, what's up? And then Devon on the top rope went, me, I am. I'm on the top rope. That's the joke.
I said, what's up? And I remembered.
There we go. It's going to be a good one.
The app, what's up?
Oh, maybe not.
Can't all be home runs. You know WhatsApp, right?
This joke is afraid of me, Jim Ross. He walked away. The punchline escaped me.
Punchline wasn't released, it escaped. You know WhatsApp, right? Can I
have, oh, here we go. It's a segue.
A little segue on WhatsApp.
Go on.
So, like, for texting messages and stuff, fine. One-handed texting of the messages, fine. I'm a left-hander.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to send a voice memo, I've got to reach my hand all the way across my phone and hold it uncomfortably there if I'm walking. And then by having it there, I'm also covering up the microphone. Like if I was a right-hander, it'd be like boom, boom, ba-da, ba-da, ba-da. For left-handers, that's a chew on. Why is Keith WhatsApp? Why haven't you figured that out yet?
Don't you hold it for a few seconds and then release it?
No, you have to hold it all the way down. Then
release your finger, thumb. Bastard, you're right.
Yeah. I'm just sending that to my little brother now. He's going to be very confused.
There we go.
Let me just delete that very quickly.
Facebook Messenger, you're allowed, you press it for a bit and then you do that, which I think is 100 times better. But yeah, it's a nice idea. But yeah, hold your thumb on the phone. So you have to just...
But again,
unnatural.
If you're a right-hander, it's fine.
It's not. Even as a right-hander, that still sucks. As a left-hander, it really sucks.
It does, but it's just especially so. Everyone just goes, oh, you only hold your phone in your left hand if you're wanking. And I'm like, well, no, I hold it in my left hand all the time because I'm a left-hander.
Yeah.
I have my phone in my right hand when I'm wanking. Good match.
Speaking of bad sex puns, thank you very much. Thanks. More clips from Pie by The Rock to promote the fact that it's number 2 on the Billboard chart.
Anyone else
is number 2. Exactly.
Oh.
It's made better, though, because Michael Cole with his frosted tips tells us, you know what? I heard that Pie song for the first time, and you know what? It just tickled my goose. It's like, thanks, Michael Cole.
You know what? I heard the Rock song Pie, and you know what? It very much was a song that I heard that day. Been described by many as a song released on an album.
Yeah. Do you know what, Jim Ross? He's not actually talking about Pie. And like, oh. Anyway, coming up, a lengthy recap of Trish getting duped, or rather Vince McMahon getting bored of her.
Are you suggesting it was a setup all along?
Nah, I think it's just, you know.
It was a setup all along.
Sometimes you just get rid of your magazines you've liked for a while, you know.
I don't want to play with you anymore.
Yeah, that, no, that's exactly it. I'm going to hang out with my daughter instead. Wait, what's the implication here, Vince?
Please add with to that sentence. I'm going to hang out with my daughter instead.
But never mind that.
It's going to get worse.
Oh.
The Trish thing gets worse on Monday.
Oh, is it that?
I believe.
Which means we're going to have that, who was it? The interview on HBO. Is it Stossel? Not John Stossel, the other one.
I'm not sure who you mean.
Have you not seen the Vincent Mann one? He's angry because we're only a few weeks, maybe after WrestleMania.
Excellent.
It's so great. You must have seen it though. He's on this guy.
I said a few where he gets angry.
He's angry because he's talking about XFL's going bad, and then he showed clips of the Trish thing, and he's just like, he's so annoyed by the guy, and he tries to knock his papers out.
Yes, I've seen that. Yeah. It's Vince McMahon in his best light.
Oh my God, I can't wait for that.
Exciting.
You know what else I can't look forward to? Talk about this next bit.
Oh.
Because it is the triumphant return of the Lugs Boot of the Week.
Lugs are back, baby! Lugs are back, yeah. And they get a brand spanking new animated intro for the Lugs Boot of the
Week.
Certainly
do.
It's Lug... Right, do you think, right, as much as we love talking about Lugs, or a singular Lug, the mascot for Lugs, that's computer animated, sort of blue alien in jeans, right? Does he look like just the fucking worst person? Does he not just look like the biggest fucking scumbag? Yeah.
You would not buy a used shoe from this man.
I would not buy any shoes from... He looks like the sort of guy that might steal my shoes for coke money. Like, ooh. He looks like the sort of guy that if I was walking home and the Lugs mascot was walking towards me, I'd cross the road. Because I just think, he's just gonna be trouble. You'd be the sort of person that go, oi! And you go, what? And you go, what are you looking at, dickhead? Do you want to fight? I'm like, he looks like he's...
Want to buy a shoe?
Trouble. Yeah, he's so some shoes.
Like one? Is that yeah?
It's the singular shoe.
Yeah.
He looks like he walks up and down like HMV and just puts CDs in like a tin foil bit of his pocket. I feel like he just looks like...
Takes a demo disc from the front cover of the official PlayStation magazine.
It's him. He looks like the sort of guy that like.
That's what they want to sell it to. The bad boys are gonna be buying this.
Cool
kids.
When your younger
cool
brother
kids
was,
break stuff and do crime. That's the Undertaker.
Crime Inc. Well, Crime Inc. is currently business is booming for Crime Inc.
Yeah, smash windows on High Street.
If your younger brother went to school and bought cocaine off somebody outside school, it was probably the Lugs mascot. Like he looks like just trouble. He just looks like trouble.
Yeah.
He's
done a real
like
good job of selling
prison.
The brand.
If he hasn't been to prison, he's going to prison soon. He just looks
like
trouble.
That's where he's been.
Is that why they've been away?
Yeah, is that where you've been? Some time, it's all right.
That's why he's been away.
What have you learned from this? Don't get caught. All right. Anyway, the boot of the week is Vince McMahon making Austin versus Kurt for tonight. That's the Lugs of the Week, Lugs of the Monk, Lugs of the Forever.
I feel like the Lugs man would have a Rottweiler that he hadn't trained.
What, like take bumps?
Yeah, he's really shit going through a table.
We are looking at him, but he's still green. Anyway, the main event tonight with two guys who are not green, Steve Austin versus Kurt Angle, neither of which are dogs either. The Rock shows up to be at ringside for this match, starting with Kurt charging Austin, which ends as well as you'd expect. Austin bounces Kurt in front of Rock and says, "This'll be you next." And the Rock's like, "Oh, yeah." Austin gets an abdominal stretch of all things. Angle makes the ropes, and Austin's like, "Okay, ref, I'm off him, which the crowd likes. One, two, get off him, Austin. Okay.
Sportsmanship.
Nice little bit, just for no reason. Like, look, I'm off. Look, don't DQ me. Ooh, I'd hate that. Angle makes the ropes. Crowd explodes anytime Austin does anything. Good God. Angle gets the ankle lock, though. And this means Austin is forced to sell for a bit, but his neck is okay at this point to do this. Looking at you, Undertaker. Angle bounces Austin off the desk while staring at the Rocko, and this will be you next. Rock's like, no. Pete's the title, mate. What are you on about? Angle works over Austin and gets the Angle slam, but Regal heads out. Rock launches Regal into the ring because he's sick of working his blackadder ass over. Regal recovers and helps Angle pound Austin, but they both get stunners. However, the Rock gets ready for the Rock Bottom on Austin, like he did on Raw, but doesn't hit it on Austin yet. So Austin just turns around and goes, "Ugh!" And Angle smiles at him like, "Ha ha, made you look," as the show goes up the air. Ooh,
Smackdown,
the tension.
SmackDown ends with Rock and Austin both doing their like finisher taunts at each other.
Yeah,
like both leaning over, arms on the side. They look like a set of cats about to fight. They look like...
It's like when that time when I rotate Pablo into the corridor and he catches his reflection. Yeah. That's what it looks like. I was expecting Rock just to go.
Yeah, because they don't fight cats. They just do that.
They just They just growl and make weird noises at each other.
Pie. Oh, that one, that speaking one. Chinese.
They just look like two cats about to scrap. I know what they were going for, and it'll be a nice little visual in a video package in weeks to come. But it just made me chuckle.
I liked it until you said that thing about the cat. Exactly right.
They look like they're about to fight.
Yeah, I would then. I would then.
Angle and Austin, phenomenal chemistry.
Yeah.
All the time. My God, they're great. They're just great. Everything. Like, and what's lovely is that they're having so much fun at the moment doing Angle and Austin. And then in a few months' time, we're going to do Angle and Austin with the roles reversed.
Mm.
And it's going to be great still. Arguably greater.
Mm.
Like, bring on SummerSlam 2001, yep. Which I think is the absolute height of their chemistry with that particular match is phenomenal.
Yep.
But they just always work well together. Austin, I think, like, he's so high up in the food chain. And there's obviously now, there's all these rumblings about a comeback. But, like, he's so high up in the food chain. There's so few people that you could kind of put him with that offer any real challenge, any sense of any disbelief suspension. Angle's one of them. And it's same with The Rock. Like, Angle is... it's another freaking testament to how brilliant Kurt Angle is. How we've been doing this, we watched his rise. Like, he debuted in SummerSlam, Survivor Series 1999, to the point where, like, both Angle and... Like, Angle is the foil for The Rock and Steve Austin. And it could potentially play WrestleMania spoiler.
Mm.
And it doesn't feel out of place. Mm. As much as Regal feels a little, doesn't feel as in place as this as Angle does, but Angle really feels in place.
Mm. He's been established as part of the storyline with the Vince McMahon thing stuff. Yeah. So,
which is why I'm gutted that Angle doesn't truly get the, like, he will have a moment at WrestleMania, but I feel sad that he doesn't get anything a little further up, because God, he earned it. God, he earned it. Really did. We don't really get that.
No, because they've had that WrestleMania in England that they always tease and go, it's not about wanting to come to England and go see Blackpool Beach.
Damn,
it's
right.
About whoever's paying the money. You know what? We were all paying all the money for this period in wrestling.
We certainly were.
Episode. What was your highlight?
So,
no, that's not right. What do I remember
from this episode?
We've been doing it for 2 years.
It's easy to forget sometimes. I remembered the Val Venus bit very well. I think it's weird. It's funny hearing you talk about it and you saying this was just long and boring and it was inconsequential, I didn't get it. Like, because to me, and I don't know whether I paid too much attention to wrestling news AOL chat at this point, because I kind of knew something had gone on.
See, I didn't at the time, so
right.
That's why I'm basing that on.
But that's why that's interesting, yeah. Because it's how we both, in our mind palaces, have perceived it for all these years. And we treat it in a different way. And I always remember that. And I thought it was a good acting gig by Val. Very memorable bit for me of kind of how they explained away the cat going away. What did you remember?
You know what? I would appreciate that segment a bit more if it had been Bill Buchanan being the person who's the victim. So we could hear his amazing southern drawl. I wasn't expecting. Because he had that one promo months ago where it was, how can I have my daughter watch this show with all the violence and the nudity?
Exactly.
And it was like, what? That's what Bill Buchanan sounds like? Good God. So if he'd done that for 10 minutes, I'd be howling.
He may cut a promo for his son when his son headlines WrestleMania 47.
Yeah. I'm really happy that my boy could headline WrestleMania just like I did at WrestleMania 2000 with a match of the night. And I'll be like, yep, you're right.
No complaints, officer. What did you remember?
I don't want to say that right to sense a bit. But
if there was nothing else, because that was probably the most memorable bit, to be fair.
Yeah, you know what, actually, yeah.
It probably was the most memorable
Damn
bit.
Damn it. You win again, Venus.
You win again, Val. Tell us what you forgot. I forgot Regal had a title shot in the Rumble of WrestleMania. Forgot that our boy, William Winky Regal, came within a hair's breadth of being the Lord Flashheart of WrestleMania and just striding in at the last minute and changing the scene completely.
Regal is our Lord Flashheart here.
He certainly is.
But he wasn't to be.
The thing I forgot,
yes.
And I'm surprised I forgot it, Kane and Devon doing the was up. Seems like one of those things, iconic moments almost, but yeah.
That is an iconic moment.
Disgusted
actually.
Undertaker. No, what? Kane, you should be making them sell for you continuously.
You gotta, don't worry, when the WCW lads come in, stick with me.
Don't worry, yeah.
I'll show you how it goes.
We'll be eating until winter when those lads show up. God.
Coming up next week, what's happening in your world? Raid Shadow Legends advert.
Maybe.
You must.
On. No, I'll be Stacker 2.
Yes! Lugs, Stacker
Chef
2.
Chef Boyardee. Tastes like shit.
Chef Boyardee, Shadow Legends.
Mmm.
Wizards.
Mmm.
What are you
working... Macaroni.
What are you working on?
A whole bunch of crap. They'll be watching you at 4:50 soon. Look forward to that. I'm relaxing whilst watching wrestling at the minute, rather than being too stressed, just to keep myself nice and noticeable. Because... 2 weeks' time, I'll be going to DubX Dub.
DubX Dub.
I did, because I haven't existed outside of Newcastle for over 2 years.
Bloody hell.
So, and considering I used to travel all the time, go up and down the country like a set of horse drawers, and I've just not done that. And so, even if it's like the worst wrestling of it, which it won't be, which it's not a glowing endorsement by any means,
it won't be.
But like, even if it's that, it's getting out and getting out the routine and traveling, which I love so much. And even better, now that UK's been downgraded from bloody awful to just slightly awful.
So yeah.
The forms and stuff that we did need to a few days ago.
All gone.
It looks all right. And I'll be seeing old friends and just having a lovely time. And also, you know what? Get myself out of that comfort zone and going, no, just stay in. Just stay in. Ooh, you can sit around and do nothing. I've done nothing for a long time.
It's
I need to go out
it's
and go.
Easy just to sit in and do nothing. And,
it is. Yeah. So it's now I've got the chance to, because chances are, last time I went to Germany, the world ended.
Yeah. So, it's the best do it before the world ends again.
Yeah. If this is when Ukraine and Russia finally go at it, it's like, Matthew! I'm like, sorry, guys.
Not again.
I'd have a schnitzel.
had to have a schnitzel, didn't you?
What are you working on currently?
Well, let's stay European. Next week, it'll have been recorded by the time you watch this / listen to this. Next week on Desert Island Graps, Rene Dupree.
Really?
I know.
He's a French tickler. He tickles French people.
He's a French tickler, man. Rene Dupree on Desert Island Graps.
Has that been recorded then?
It's been recorded. It's been recorded today, a day of recording. By the time this goes out, it would have already been recorded, maybe edited, depending how sleepy I am. but that'll be Wednesday. We had lovely episodes with Mr. Pectacular, Jesse Godders.
Oh, I was a big fan of him.
He was on.
Crazy selling.
And Baron Black from Terminus, AEW Dark.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
He's losing a lot of matches. Baron, fix that shit, mate. It's hilarious. He's losing a lot of matches on AEW Dark.
And the loser, Baron Black.
The ultimate loser, Baron Black. I love you, mate. It's You're brilliant. Yeah, he hasn't he? So if you missed them, they're on the podcast feed. And then all the other normal bollocks as per usual. And we'll be back this time next week to talk more SmackDown on the road to fucking WrestleMania 17. And until we next do that, he is at Matthew Gregg on Twitter. I am at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together, we are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us. Step Brothers! Love you, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitor monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.